Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because I have Savannah with me, and she is a certified motivational speaker, life coach, proud female founder, and chronic illness warrior. She started her career in modeling and acting world, and her hard work and dedication led her to being featured in numerous movies, television shows, and print publications. After being diagnosed with fibromyalgia, she had to reroute her entire life and find a new path on the road to success. Savannah now works to help others succeed on their own journeys in business and in life through the power of spoken word. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited.
Well, we're excited to have you. And I know we met about over a year ago now, but I just loved your energy, your positivity. But I would love to dive into your entrepreneurial journey, how you got here today. I know there's been a lot of ups and downs, and we'll talk about all of those. But if you could, in a nutshell, give us a little bit more of your background.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guess life has been a little bit of a roller coaster for me. No. I feel like when you hear people say their entire lives, I knew what I wanted to do my entire life. You're like, man, like that's pretty cool that people know that. I happen to be one of those people. I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be in the modeling and acting world. And I knew there was a very strong pull towards it. So, you know, as I was getting older, I was doing modeling and acting, and then I took a pause for it because you get all of your friends and your family and the people that are around you, and everyone's like, oh, you got to go to college, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, you get yeah. everybody's feedback and everybody's opinions. So, just a little bit of a backstory. So my mom actually came to America when I was 5 years old. She left me in Slovakia. I'm originally from Slovakia, and she came here by herself. She didn't speak the language. She didn't have any money. She didn't know anyone. She had nowhere to live. She had no job. She had nothing. And she came here for a better life for me. So as I got older, I realized, you know, maybe I should go to college. So I started to pursue college. I had full paid scholarships to be an anesthesiologist. And one day, I was sitting in class and I said, what am I doing here? Literally, it was like a light bulb went off. Like every time you hear somebody talk about those light bulb moments, that was the light bulb moment for me. The switch went off and there was no going back after that. So I was sitting in class and the light bulb went off and I said, what am I doing here? I'm trying to make, you know, my family proud. I'm trying to make my friends proud. I'm trying to show everybody that I could be this successful person and have all of this money and do all of these grand things. But this is not really what I want to be doing. I want to do modeling and acting. Mm-hmm. So that day I talked to myself in my head and I was going back and forth and I'm like, I don't know. Do you really want to do this? Like, are you sure? You don't know anything about modeling and acting really? Mm-hmm. And I made a promise to myself that day. I said, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to take a chance on myself, I am literally going to go full force. I'm going to learn everything about the modeling and acting industry. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to ensure that I succeed. That day, I walked out, dropped out of college. I lost every single one of my scholarships that I had. And I just started to learn it. I came home that day. I started to go on the computer. I started to do research. Now, I'm only 5'1" and a half, maybe 5'2". I like to tell people I'm 5'2" because it just sounds a little bit better, right? Like when you're 5'1" and a half or 5'2". So I already knew that there was so many things against me in the modeling industry because, as you know, I'm sure, modeling, the petite category, like the shortest petite category is about 5'6". Yeah. So I was not making the cut at all. Like my chances were completely stacked against me. And I did it for a lot of years, over 10 years. I did modeling and acting, and I learned everything about it. I held every single promise that I made to myself. I kept every promise and I pursued it to the fullest. And at the peak of my career, I had just finished filming in the movie Creed II. I was literally living the life of my dreams. Like I had dreamed of this from when I was a little girl, when I was a little kid, I dreamed of this. And I finally was doing it. And the night before, I was a completely normal, healthy, happy person living my dreams. And the next day I woke up and I had the worst pain I've ever felt and experienced in my entire life. I had no idea what was going on. It took me 7.5 years to be diagnosed. I was finally diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So that's where the Levado comes in, because of course, you know, life is always going to test you. And I say this all the time, life is always going to test you. So I was put on medication for fibromyalgia. Now, one of the medications that I was put on, the 0.1% rare side effect was given to me. That's where Levado reticularis came from. So my legs and my arms turned purple. It used to do it when the temperature, you know, depending on the temperature, now it kind of has a mind of its own and it does it whenever it feels like it. But yeah. I knew very quickly that my modeling and acting career was over. And I'll be honest with you, for a really long time, that took such a toll on me. Like, I just felt like my entire life was over. I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have a backup plan. I had dropped out of college. I didn't have anything. I was like, what am I going to do? And I was at rock bottom. That was my rock bottom for me. I didn't think that I would ever be able to pull myself out of that. And after a while of, you know, having a pity party for myself and feeling bad for myself and complaining about how terrible life was and how terrible all of these things in my life that had happened were, I finally, this is for anyone, you know, if you believe in God or a higher power or the universe or yourself or whatever it is, I believe in God. And, you know, I just prayed and I prayed on it and I asked God for guidance. And I said, please, God, just show me the way. Like I'm obviously here for a reason. There's still purpose. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be waking up and taking a breath of fresh air every single day. And I feel like for so long, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, because I feel like too often we have expectations for life. We expect that this is going to happen. We expect that we're going to be this. We expect that, you know, X, Y, and Z is going to fall into place. But a lot of times, God or the universe has bigger plans for us that we don't even know about. I have chills literally as I'm telling you this, because I feel like for so long I was fighting God and I was saying, no, like, God, just trust me. I need to just come on. I need to go this way. Come on. And God was saying, just trust me. This way is better for you. Just trust me. Like, take this path. And I promise you, there's something better for you on the other side. And when I finally gave in and I finally said, okay, I got nothing else. There's nothing else. I can't keep fighting because there's nothing to fight anymore. Yeah. I finally took that leap of faith and I prayed and I said, God, I'm going to let you lead the way. I'm going to let you guide me to whatever is my purpose, whatever the ultimate purpose for my life is. And then it just so happened that the Clubhouse app, you know, started to come around. And I started to share my story and I just, I'm always, see, the thing with me is I always speak from the heart. I'm never like a scripted person or I never like pre-plan anything. I just kind of jump in and I wing it. Like, it's, this is me all the time. You know, like, so I started to share my story, and I just, I created the community, the Sisterhood of Influential Entrepreneurs. And, you know, I was doing rooms every single Friday and Saturday for like 19 to 20 hours every single weekend, 2 days in a row. And I just, it felt so good being able to give other people a voice, because when I first got on Clubhouse, I felt like my voice wasn't being heard. I felt like I went into a room, I didn't know anybody, I didn't know what I was doing yet. And there was a room that was titled Share Your Story. And anytime, I always say this, if there's one person in the room that hears your story or hears you say something, and instantly it just, it shifts something in them to believe in themselves more, to say, wow, this person overcame something, I can overcome what I'm going through too. Like, one person is all it takes. And if you can change their life and make an impact in their life, that is a huge accomplishment. So I went in this room and I'm listening, and I was so inspired by everybody. I was like, wow, like, these people are sharing and being so vulnerable with all these strangers, and like, they're making an impact in my life. I want to be able to do that. So I raised my hand, and you know, you know how it is, building that courage. I was sweating through my shirt. I had pit stains and all. It was serious.
Yes.
And I finally built up that courage to raise my hand, and they turned off the hand raising. They turned off the hand raising. They let everybody else up, but they wouldn't let me up. And I didn't look like a troll. I had, you know, I had pictures and a bio and everything up there, so it wasn't that. And in that moment, I felt so defeated, and I felt like so, like, just misunderstood and not seen. And I felt like I didn't have a voice. And I felt, how does somebody have that much power over you to say, you matter, but you don't? Your story is important, but yours isn't. And in that moment, it was another pivotal moment for me where I said, okay, I can take path one here, which is give up, say everybody and this entire app is mean, I am out of here, see you later. Or I can take path number two, which is make a difference, be the difference that I wanted to see in that room, and allow people to have a voice and to have a safe space where they can come and they can share their stories. So I made a promise to myself again that day. And I said, if I am able to create a space, I don't care if I have to be there all night and I don't sleep. If I am able to create somewhere where every single person's voice is heard and everybody's story matters and everybody matters, no matter what they're going through or what they've gone through, I am going to do that. And I made that promise to myself that day, and I committed to it again, and I did everything I said I was going to do. And it's just things like that in my life that have happened that have allowed me to be where I am today. And I always say now that my fibromyalgia has been a blessing. I would not change it for the world. It sucks waking up with pain. It sucks having purple legs and arms. But it can be so much worse. And this has given me so much opportunity in my life that are beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, I just did a TED talk. I just was on the TED stage for the first time. And I would have never done that if I was modeling and acting. So for me, it just goes to show that when you truly believe in yourself, and when you truly face your fears and you overcome those obstacles and you know that God is guiding you every single step of the way, everything is possible. Literally everything is possible. And I just, I love life. I love waking up now. I'm excited for what's to come. I love the good and the bad, because I always know that if there's a learning lesson and there's going to be some kind of an experience that I have something to take away from. And to me, that is just the most important thing ever. The fact that I'm living this life right now, I am grateful beyond words. I really am.
Well, I know so many people are grateful for you as well, including myself. And when we met, you know, it's just, it truly rings home to what you were saying of the sisterhood of influential entrepreneurs and being able to create that space in Clubhouse, especially because there were some rooms where you didn't get an opportunity to share your story. But it is such a testament because I remember you being on all hours. I was right there with you sometimes, but not always. But it's just so true to your character and your positivity and just the light that you shine on others as well. And it's just very true. I mean, I've experienced it time and time again. But I know too, just what you've gone through as well. It's those life curves and turns have really shaped who you are today, but got you to this point. Absolutely. But I would love to hear a little bit more kind of speaking on just changing the world, making a difference. I know you have a petition going on for the foundation, which you started around Fur Babies.
Yeah. So this was another pivotal moment for me. So we had it's been 2 years now. So I had a cat that was 18 years old and he passed away of old age. So then we adopted a kitten. We rescued a kitten. He came from a really, really bad, he was outdoors. He was being attacked by his mom and siblings for food. Like he had scratches and bites and just really bad condition. And the rescue that you're going to love this story. This just goes to show how much I love. Like this is it.
Yes.
So this rescue, they were a catch and release. So what they do is they capture the cats, you know, they'll spay and neuter them just so that they're not continuing to have babies out on the streets and they're safe and they're healthy. They get whatever vaccines they need. And then they usually don't adopt those cats or those kittens. They usually release them back into the wild. And I saw this baby. I saw this little kitten. I happened to be looking because I was really sad that we had lost our 18-year-old cat. And I said to my fiance, I said, you know, it's time. I think we should adopt a kitten. I just have a strong feeling. I have a really strong pull to do this. And I saw this kitten and his name was Amarello. And instantly I saw one picture of him in a cage, all disheveled, bites, blood, scratches everywhere, completely disheveled. Like it wasn't a kitten where you're like, oh my gosh, that is the cutest kitten in the world. It was like the worst condition kitten. And I completely fell in love with him. And so by the time my fiance got home, it was probably 7 or 8 o'clock, and I had fallen so much in love with this kitten. I don't know what it was, but I had such a strong feeling. Now, I always believe in signs. I always believe that God and the universe is guiding us to whatever the next step and phase of our life is, and I had such a strong feeling. So me being me, my fiance gets home. It's like 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock. And I started to Google and I found this woman's cell phone number of the rescue. So I call her at 8 o'clock at night and I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. She's like, how did you get my phone number? It's not even like public record. I'm like, oh, I did a lot of research. And I call this lady at 8 o'clock, just full blown. I'm like, please, like, this is the kitten. Please, we need to adopt this kitten. I can't tell you. And I explained to her the feeling I had and just how I was being drawn to him. So we ended up adopting him. We got him. And that was the first cat they've ever adopted out of that rescue. The first cat they have ever adopted. And since then, they haven't adopted out any other kittens because they are just a catch and release. They've never done that. But he was just in such a bad place that they couldn't release him because he would continue to get attacked. It just wouldn't end well for him. So I call this lady, we adopt him, little Amarello, and they didn't even know why they named him Amarello, but this is the crazy part. This is where signs come in. So she said, oh yeah, we just named him Amarello. He was an orange cat. So Amarello stands for yellow. So it wouldn't have been an orange cat. They just felt to call him Amarello. And we had him for a year. He lived the best life possible. And it, for his 1 year, he had to go for a checkup. He had to go to the vet and he had to get checked and just make sure he was up to date with his vaccines and, you know, just make sure that he was doing good. So we went and he was really nervous, obviously, because he was happy at home and, you know, being loved and playing with his toys and being in his little house. And he loved that. So we brought him and everything was fine. He got all of his vaccines and everything that he needed. And the doctor said that he had molars in his mouth that needed to be removed. And they wanted to schedule it for the following week. So we went, we got the molars removed. And shortly after his molar surgery, he started to act a little bit strange. He wasn't eating as much. He was, you know, kind of like lethargic. Like he just, he wasn't his happy, playful self. Yeah, so we called the doctor and they just prescribed him. They said, oh, it's probably just, you know, pain from the surgery. They prescribed him pain medication. So we gave him the pain medication, thinking that everything was going to be okay. And it was almost overnight. He got very, very ill. And we brought him to the animal hospital, 24-hour animal hospital. And they didn't know what was going on. They kept him and they did all different kinds of things. I mean, thousands of dollars that they just, you know, they just will do whatever they can to get money out of people. And they ended up finding out that he had FIP, which is feline infectious peritonitis, which is almost like a cat coronavirus. And most of the time it's not treatable. And if you can get the treatments for it, they're very expensive and a doctor or a vet or no one will give the injection because you have to give them a needle. It's like a liquid. You have to do a whole thing. So after they banged us for blood transfusions and blood work and x-rays and everything under the sun, they finally told us what was really going on. And that's when we found out that he had FIP. And we literally drove all over New Jersey trying to get these medications. It was literally, I'm not kidding you, like drug deals going down. I'm not kidding you. I was in the parking lot. I got needles and syringes for my cat that I'm bringing home. I'm driving all the way across New Jersey to save this baby's life.
Oh.
By time at the animal hospital, and they knew earlier on, but they were just trying to get more money out of us. They knew what was wrong earlier on. And by time we got him the treatment, it was too late. We were able to give him one injection and he passed away right on the table there. Oh. And I realized that there was a very, very big problem. Number one, when he passed away, the entire staff of the animal hospital was probably by far the worst experience I've ever had in my entire life. Like the fact that they're even open and in operation is beyond me. Me and my fiance are crying on the table. We can't even believe what just happened, that this healthy baby boy just passed away. He had 1 year of life that he loved and enjoyed and had the best life possible. And a year later, just because we brought him to this checkup and to get the surgery, he passed away. And the other thing is, so FIP usually is a cat has it, almost all cats have it, but it's either it becomes active or it doesn't become active. Now, it can become active if a cat is near another cat that has FIP. It can become active if the cat is under stress, which clearly that was for Amarello. So we named him Chunks because when we got him, he was so tiny and so frail. It was just bones. Like he was just in such bad shape. And I said to my fiance, Chunks is going to be his name because we're going to fatten this little baby up. He's going to have a little Buddha belly and that's going to be his name. So we named him Chunks. And when he passed away, what FIP does is it causes their entire body to go yellow. So in that moment, I said, wow, I knew that he wasn't meant to be here for a long time. He was meant to teach me something, and he was meant to live the life that he lived during the time that he was here. And he was meant to teach me that I needed to do something more. So FIP treatments are nearly impossible to get. Literally nearly impossible. And if you do get them, you have to find somebody that knows how to give the right amount of the dose. You have to make sure that you do it for 84 days, which is insane, every single day. And I realized that that's where the Amarello Foundation came into play, is I didn't want anybody else to go through what we went through and to suffer what we suffered, because a lot of people don't know that there's a cat coronavirus out there. Mm-hmm. And there is. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit, I started the petition and I'm getting signatures because I want to get these treatments passed. I want to have them FDA approved so that people can, if their cat has FIP, they can get them. They don't have to be, you know, going across the state to go pick up these treatments and hope that they're giving the right dosage and hope that they're doing all the right things. So I started the Amarello Foundation. I'm doing the petitions, and fast forward a little bit, this is how you know. So we went to adoption day and we were volunteering for PetSmart. We were volunteering at the adoption days and we were helping out and helping get the cats all adopted. And it was so much fun. And can't help with adoption day unless you adopt. I mean, come on.
Naturally.
So we adopted two cats, Mason and Maisie, their brother and sister. We adopted them. And a couple days later, it was like, we did it every weekend. So probably like maybe the following week, or I think it was the following week. Following week, we went in to help with adoption day again, not to adopt, but to help get these animals.
That's what you told yourself.
Right. It's the thought that counts. So we went and I saw this sweet baby who looked very similar to Chunks, to Amarello. Mm-hmm. And we took him out of the cage. And instantly, he literally jumped out of the cage and wrapped himself around my fiance's neck. And I said, okay, we're going to take home a third cat. We're going to do this. We're going to take home a third cat. Now, this is where more of a problem comes in. So when you adopt animals, they always will tell you adopt, don't shop. But they don't tell you that sometimes when they give you the animals are sick. So Milo, the third baby that we adopted, he got FIP. He got the coronavirus, the cat coronavirus. And this time we were prepared for it. So I'm very happy and grateful to say that he just finished a couple weeks ago, his 84-day treatment. Oh, he is healthy as could be. He's happy. He is, you know, he's just doing so great. And it's just been something that's really near and dear to my heart because I love animals. I think everyone loves animals. And I just feel like, just like naturally, like I've experienced a lot in the health system, you know, with me when I was getting diagnosed with fibromyalgia, you know, you're crazy. You got to go see a psychiatrist. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's fine. 7.5 years worth of that. And then I realized that it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at humans. It also goes over to animals. And what I realized is that a lot of times these places that are supposed to help your animals, that are supposed to be there to literally do everything in their power to help your animals, a lot of times now it's just a money grab. It's, let's run this test. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Instead of just saying, the reality is, here's what it is. We have the blood work. It takes the other thing, the blood work for Chunks took over a week. It took over a week for them to get back his blood work. By time they got back his blood work to confirm that he had FIP, that we already knew and they already knew that he had FIP, he was gone. By time we got the blood work back, he was already gone. That's a problem. That is a problem, that we're not making these things a priority, that we're just taking money from people and whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. It's off our hands. Too bad. See you later. Like, that's wrong. That is so wrong in so many ways. And I can't stand and watch that continue to happen. And I saw it happen with our animals. And I realized that it's a big problem, you know, just because animals can't speak to you and they're not walking around and grocery shopping and doing whatever doesn't mean that they're any less than we are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're any less than, like, yeah. I feel like too often they're treated just like an object. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll just leave it home or whatever. I'll feed it whenever I get a chance. And it's like, as a human being, you wouldn't want that. If somebody was taking care of you, you wouldn't want them to just leave you or to say you'll eat whenever they feel like feeding you, or you'll drink your water whenever they feel like, you know, replenishing your bowl. So mm-hmm. why do we do that to animals?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. It is wrong. And I think it just kind of goes back to what you're saying too about your own health. Like, you took the initiative of saying, okay, this isn't a status quo. I'm not going to keep this as I'm fine, I'm not fine. And like, taking the 7.5 years for you to be diagnosed, but also for animals too. And I think it just goes hand in hand with what you're all about and being that health warrior that you are as well, but not just for humans, but for animals too. And I think it's really important. So we'll definitely link the petition below so people can sign up for it or sign for it as well. So I'll get that information from you after this so we can link it as well, because I think it's really important to address it as well, because yeah. I know I'm a dog mom, and I like, could, when my dog is sick, if anything's wrong, I am freaking out. So same. It's the same concept. It's like our child until we have kids, you know. Yeah. But that's the thing too. I think it's just going back to like your health and really advocating for ourselves, and really even with Clubhouse, advocating for the people to tell their stories, being able to create spaces for everybody. And that's what I feel like you truly embody. So I would love for you to talk about your TED Talk that you were recently on. We're going to link that too, so people can watch it. But can you tell us a little bit more about that as well?
Yeah. So, well, I don't have the link yet. Hopefully I'll have the link. So as soon as I have it, I'll do that. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you, since my fibromyalgia and my health problems kind of came up, I just had such a huge shift in life. Like, I just view life so much differently now, because I feel like there's so much craziness going on in the world. Like, there is, you can't even name on both hands all of the terrible things in the world that go on. And even if there isn't terrible things going on in the world, there's people that try to do terrible things, or that try to bring others down, or that don't want to see other people succeed. So my TED Talk, without going too deep into it before it comes out, is really based around how we can truly make a difference in this world, make a positive impact in this world right now, and even when we're no longer here, by just passing down love and kindness and compassion and being able to pass all of those things down instead of passing down monetary things. You know, I feel like too often everybody's like, I got to be a billionaire because I want to have the mansions, and I want to have all the bags and the beautiful cars and the Bentleys and this and that. And it's like, we forget that every single one of us is human. Every single one of us has problems. We all have obstacles to overcome. We all have fears that we have to face. We all deal with the same exact stuff. And if we were able to just come together, and if we were able to just say, forget all the other noise, forget all the negative stuff, the jealousy and the envy and the need and want to have all of these grand things in life. Forget all of that and understand that what you have right now in this moment, whether you're the richest person on the planet or the poorest person on the planet, you have so much to give back to this world. You have so many things that you're able to pass down. And I always say it, whether it's one person, 10,000 people, a million people, as long as you make some kind of an impact in this lifetime, you have fulfilled a life full of so much accomplishments and so much achievements because you do things in the goodness of your heart, not because you want to show up or you want to come off as whatever, or you want to look successful to other people. Like, you do things because you genuinely love to see other people succeed. You genuinely love to see the world just continue to be a better place. Like, that's the ultimate goal. There's no better goal than that. You can have everything in the world and it still won't make you happy if you're not internally being true to yourself, and if you're not internally happy with who you are and what you are doing to make a difference, right? To make an impact. So that's what the TED Talk is about, is that we all have something within us that we're able to pass down to truly make a difference, a positive difference in this world.
I love it. I felt everything you were saying because it's so true. It is the impact, the monetary stuff. It comes and goes. Money comes and goes, but it's the wisdom. It's the kindness. It's how we show up as a human being and the impact we can make. And I truly believe that as well. So I'm glad you're bringing it up. And I hope people are really listening and absorbing this information because it is so spot on and it's gold. And I can't wait to see your TED Talk.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come out. I'm like on the edge of my seat. Come on.
So close. So close. But we'll definitely have it linked when it comes out. So I did want to touch on, because I know you've had a lot of roadblocks just with your health and starting business. What has been really, besides of just knowing that you have a purpose and the impact you've been making, what has really led you to continue moving forward day in, day out?
I think that the biggest thing for me is, so I'll tell you, I've never shared this with anyone. I think that the biggest thing for me is growing up, I didn't have anyone that loved me. I didn't have a family, or I didn't have parents or anyone around me that loved me or that, you know, cared for me. And as I got older, I feel like my self-worth kind of went down. I felt like I wasn't good enough. And what I had to give to the world or to give to people wasn't good enough, because that's what I was always reminded my entire life. And the biggest thing that is my biggest drive every single day, no matter what it is that I'm doing, no matter what it is that I'm focusing on, the biggest drive for me is showing people that everybody is capable of being loved. Every single person is capable of feeling love. And that to me is the most powerful emotion any of us can ever feel or any of us can ever give. And that's what drives me, is I want to give back the love that I never received. Oh,
I just had to take that in for a second. I felt that. And, you know, it's so true, because a lot of people might grow up in that same aspect of not feeling that love, but knowing that we are capable of love, we deserve love, each and every single one of us. And I'm so glad you really do own that and embody that and really share that light to others where they might not feel it, but they feel it from your energy. They feel it from your words and your wisdom. So I appreciate you sharing that. And thank you for being so vulnerable as well.
Absolutely. I think that's what makes the world continue to go round, you know, is we have to come together. Even when we feel like we're alone, we have to remember that we're not alone. You know, there's so many other people that are going through worse things or going through similar things. And if we were all just able to come together and put everything aside and just remind each other that We all have a purpose. Every single one of us has something to give in this world. We all have something to give back or something to do or something to fulfill. And if we were all just supportive of one another instead of trying to tear each other down and saying, I don't want you to succeed, or, well, I want you to succeed, but not better than I'm going to succeed. If we all just paused and just looked around us and saw all of the beautiful people and all of the beautiful things that this world and this life has to offer, I feel like we all, it starts with one. It starts with one person. And when you're able to pass that down and you're able to show people that I've gone through some things too, I've been there, but I overcame it, and you can too. And when we're able to pave the way for other people, that's making an impact. And I live for that.
Yes, no, and absolutely. And it's giving permission for others to do the same, to pave that path, but they're following and making their own path as well. But it's that permission, seeing somebody else do it before them, knowing that it is possible. And we all are capable of amazing things, I think, extraordinary things, but it's just allowing ourselves to go there and giving ourselves that self-belief and believing in that. But I'm curious, what are 2 to 3 tips you could give somebody who's starting their own business that you wish you might have known when you were starting yours?
Oh, okay. Well, I would say the first tip is it's not a race. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us, I am the first one to raise my hand on this one, is I always felt like it was a race. Like it was such a rush. Like I got to get this done. I had all these timelines. By this age, I'm going to have this done. And by this age, I'm going to have accomplished all of this. And it's like, just slow down. Slow down is the first thing. Pace yourself and understand that if things aren't happening for you overnight, it just means you're not ready for them yet. You just have to keep pushing forward. You have to keep practicing. You have to keep studying. The second tip that I would give is be yourself. Always be yourself. In a world full of people trying to be other people, and you know, you want to get this, and you want to get, you know, Botox and the butt implants or the boobs or this or that, and it's like, just remember that you are perfect exactly as you are. There is only one of you in this world. There's one single you. That's it. There is nobody else, unless you have a twin. And even still, you're one person. Your personality is different. Your heart is different. All of your traits are different. So just remember that you were made, God made you exactly as you are, with the good and the bad, the things that you wish you could change. All of us have things we wish we could change, right? I different hair color. It's like when people have straight hair, they want curly hair. When people have curly hair, they want straight hair.
Of course.
But it's like we forget to understand that we're perfect exactly as we are. We were made to be who we are, how we are, because there is something so perfect for you in this lifetime. There's another person for you in this lifetime. Maybe you don't find that person, your soulmate or your significant other, whatever it is, tomorrow. Maybe it takes 5 years, maybe it takes 10 years, but that's the point of life, is that you have to be willing to keep pushing forward for the things that you want. Mm-hmm. And the third thing that I would say is, never go into business or into anything because you want to have a lot of money. Go into things because you truly, genuinely believe in what you are doing, what you are putting out there, and because you're having fun. Like, just have fun with the process. You know, I feel like, and I was definitely, I'll raise my hand again, one of the people that, you know, that always just thought things would happen overnight. If I put this out, I'm going to be an overnight success. If I do this, I'm going to be an overnight success. Guilty. And it's like, you know, some people, you look at, I don't know, let's say a Tony Robbins or a you know, Mel Robbins or whoever it is that you aspire to be or that you look up to. you look at those people, and to everyone, when you just see the YouTube videos and the, you know, millions of views and the millions of followers and the verified accounts, you're like, man, I want to be there. If I just do this, I'll be there overnight. And it's like, we forget that those people worked literally their entire lives, like probably 40, 50, 60 years to get to that point. So yes. we just have to have fun with it. Like, go into whatever you're doing with true heart and passion in it and have fun. That's the most important thing, is have fun and show other people how to have fun and start paving the way for other people. And that 40 years or 50 years, or maybe it takes you 20, or maybe it only takes you 5 months, whatever it is, whatever is in your path and whatever is in your plan, it's going to come to you, right? Like what you were, I say, this is a quote by me, what you were born to do is not ahead of you, it's within you. And that's the truth. If you have an idea that you want to start this business, or you have an idea that you want to do a podcast, it's not just on a whim that you got this idea. The idea was placed there for you because that's something that you're meant to do in this lifetime. And you just have to keep enjoying it and enjoy the ride and enjoy the however long it takes, and have fun with everything that you are doing. And everyone around you will start to see your personality. They'll start to see the love that you have for what you do. And it's going to not make them want to copy you. It's going to make them want to pursue the things that make them happy, because they see how much fun you have and how happy it makes you. So those are my three tips.
Those are amazing three tips. And, you know, just to kind of highlight the last one, the fun aspect, because a lot of times a lot of people are in that grind, but really understanding to enjoying the process. And it is a process. There is no like end date.
No.
From what I've learned, but I was like guilty on all the things you were saying. I was like, yep, that's me too. been there. But Savannah, I've been so loving this conversation. But before we end, we're going to go to the rapid fire questions, if you're ready for them.
I am ready. I'm always ready. Listen, we could do this for 3 hours and I
know all day long. I know. There's so many more questions I want to ask, but for sake of time. So the first question is, what motivates you to work smarter? I know you kind of answered a little bit earlier with drive and desire, but.
Yeah, I would say for me, the biggest thing is, like I said, love, giving back love to people. And then I would say the second thing for me is, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I learned that on my journey. You know, the night before I was living the life of my dreams, and the next day, my entire world was flipped upside down. I felt my entire world just crumbling and collapsing around me. And I feel like that should be a drive for everyone, is that you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. If you have an opportunity to wake up tomorrow, because some people don't and some people won't. And that's the reality of it. Like, that's the harsh reality. Mm-hmm. If you have an opportunity to wake up and you get to take a breath of fresh air and you get to do anything, if it's, you know, you're struggling and just to get out of bed and take a shower is a big deal for you, then do that. And every single day you'll get one step closer, but you have to be willing to get up. You have to be willing to, every single time that you get knocked down, pick yourself back up and let the drive for you be the fact that you don't know when the deadline is. You don't know when the expiration date is, and it's coming for everybody. There's no, time does not stop for any single person. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't stop for anybody. So the drive for everyone should just be to do whatever makes them happy in this lifetime.
Well said. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh, I would say at some point it was Clubhouse, but yeah. I would say, I'm kind of addicted to TikTok. I'm going to be honest.
It's so fun.
I just could catch myself scrolling through like really positive motivational videos all day. And then the animal ones come up and You just go down a rabbit hole. I would say TikTok probably. I'm hooked. I'm addicted.
It's a good one. It's definitely a good one. But, but speaking of animals, so if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, style, what animal would you be?
This is a really good one because I feel like for me, I'm like a very spiritual person. So I feel like I probably would be best as like a red cardinal or a blue jay. You know, you just freely get to fly around. But when you see one, you always know that it's either someone visiting you, or sometimes it could mean fertility for some. It just, they have so many different meanings. So I feel like the spirituality aspect of it would totally be either a red cardinal or a blue jay.
Oh, I love that. They're both beautiful birds too.
Yeah, they are.
And so what is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you're not doing anything, you're not busy speaking anywhere, what are you doing?
So I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Self-care is very important. I will put on a face mask. I have a little thing that like puts the heat on your face, and then you put the face mask on. And I just will literally, one of my favorite shows too, is 90 Day Fiance. I just love seeing everybody be in love and like happy, and just the realness of like, you know, people showing just everything that they go through. Yes. So I would say that would be my perfect day off, is just laying in bed, doing nothing, having a face mask on, drinking my tea, and watching some of my favorite shows would be an ideal day off.
Oh, that sounds very relaxing, and self-care is vital for everyone. Yeah. And my final question is, where can people connect with you, find you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Absolutely. So I would say probably the best way to connect with me is my website, which is zavannadova.com, or Instagram. If you shoot me a DM over there, sometimes it takes me a little while to get back to DMs, but I do respond to every single person. It just might take a little while, but I do. So Instagram, which is Zavanna_Dova, and then probably Clubhouse as well, which is the same, Zavanna_Dova. That's where you can find me speaking and just being a heart-centered speaker and leader, definitely.
Well, Zavanna, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Just your heart is so out there. It's so beautiful. You're just a beautiful soul. But everything you shared with us today, I so appreciate you sharing about the TED Talk, your foundation, but just also what you do, what you've overcome as well, and just the brightness that you bring. Even though you've gone through so much, you still come out on top. And I think that's just something to really look at. And I know I admire that, because I know it's not easy, but being able to continue to do that. And it's just more people like you in the world. And I know there's so many amazing people, but I'm so appreciative that you came on today and shared your story with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been an honor for me to be here. Thank you for having me and for allowing me to share. And I hope everybody listens and has one takeaway, even if it's one person. If you're listening out there right now, I think what you are doing, Dr. Caroline, is just so important. And this is how we do it together. When one of us wins, we all win together. So when we're able to pass this along and we're able to collectively pave the way, it's life-changing. It's literally life-altering. So everyone that's listening right now, just know and understand that you have a purpose in this lifetime. Even if right now it doesn't feel like it, just know that there's something bigger, better, and greater for you on the other side. Thank you again, Dr. Caroline.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway? What was that one life-changing, maybe impact statement that you heard today that really shifted things for you from Zavanna? I'm sure she would love to see that as well. But thank you for joining, and we'll see you on the next video.